Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
We understand what's at stake. Let's turn around our season and give ourselves a chance of making the postseason.
One game to determine whether or not your playoffs will continue.
That's all you can ask for.
Up a three-pointer.
The greatest shooter the game has ever seen.
First name De'Aaron, last name him.
We know about playoff Jimmy. We're going to find out about play-in Jimmy.
MB, my goodness!
Did he do that?
Let's it go! Cold!
DeRozan! Now, y'all know it's my time of the year, man.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express. I'm Malika Andrews, and whew, my goodness, I mean, it was a sprint to the finish line of the regular season. So we all have today, right, to just catch our breaths, because the play-in tournament, it is right around the corner. We got LeBron, we have Zion, Steph, De'Aaron Fox. Only two of those players are going to survive the play-in tournament out west. And what's waiting for them? Oh, you know, just Nikola Jokic and the defending champs with the top overall seed SGA and the Thunder. And then in the east, of course, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, they will meet yet again. And whoever wins that clash of former teammates, they are headed to New York for a series with the Knicks, while the loser will have one game, single elimination against DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls. We haven't confirmed yet whether or not his daughter is going to be in attendance, but we are working on it, or Trae Young and the Hawks. So here are the matchups, though, that we actually know for sure. After really an effort that can only be described as blah yesterday by the Cavaliers, Donovan Mitchell and Cleveland got the matchup that they apparently wanted against the Orlando Magic. But when you look at the 3-6, I haven't been this excited for 3-6 since Say Fly. The Suns, the Wolves, Phoenix playing the best basketball of their season. And then you have a showdown of the newest rivalry in the league, the Bucks, the Pacers. We all remember Ballgate and all that happened there. And then, of course, Luka and his favorite opponent, the Clippers. But we have to all, we have a week, right, to get to that. The play-in tournament, it is almost upon us. And we got a preview of the 8-9 matchup between the Lakers and the Pelicans on Sunday. Ramona Shelburne, help me break this down. I'm not sure if these are jammies or if something else is going on, but I do know that whatever he was wearing, he was locked in. LeBron James dishing out assists at career levels in the first half.
I mean, he was looking for Anthony Davis. He was looking to exploit their advantage in the paint, and he did that. 13 assists in the first half.
13 assists in the first half for LeBron James, dishing it out to Rui Hachimura there, who throws it down. The Lakers, they just took control of this early. LeBron James, the general of the offense here, 13 assists in the first half. By the way, that's a most for him and a half in his career. There's not many firsts for the King to achieve at this point. And yet still, in the most important moments, he is going ahead to the third quarter here. Zion Williamson, he really struggled in this game, getting stripped there. And then once again here, LeBron James on him, really saying, you know what, young fella, I know you have all the talent in the world, but let me just remind you, Ramona, how this is done. He was 1 of 7 from the field, had 2 turnovers when LeBron James was his primary.
That was
defender.
Just a veteran defense right there, where LeBron gets in front of him, knows Zion's going to try to throw a shoulder at him, and LeBron pulls the chair out.
This
from
was
under him.
Momentarily concerning, though, Ramona, when Anthony Davis goes to the scorer's table saying that you can see his, saying his back is hurting. He went to the ground. He came back up. After the game, Darvin Ham said, you know what, they just think it was a spasm and he's going to be good to go. LeBron James putting the icing on this one. Let's take a listen to him afterwards.
I do like the way we played today. Good test for us. Good regular season for us, even throughout everything that's went on throughout this whole season. In the season, 12 games on 500, 13 if you count the championship and out in season tournament. I mean, it's, you know, everything we went through is a pretty good season.
So the Lakers get the win. That's the good news for LA fans. But here's the thing. If they win on Tuesday, their prize, it's not exactly enviable, right? They have a hot date with the defending champion Nuggets in the first round. And for all the people saying, they should lose, throw it. Greeny, my friend, I'm looking at you. We saw get up this morning. All right, bet, I hear you, but pick your poison, right? Sabonis and the Kings, which I don't need to remind LA fans, AD has never beat Sabonis in his career, or the Warriors, who just got historically hot from three, playing some of the best basketball of their season against Los Angeles, right? And they won in their last meeting in Crypto.com Arena. So joining Ramona Shelburne and I in studio, Austin Rivers, Kendrick Perkins, beaming in from their respective homes. Now that you see the Lakers' path, Perk, how do you feel about it now?
Look, did the Lakers get a great win? Did they get a good win last night? Yes, they did. But was it a great win? No. Why? Because the mission is not complete. They're still in the play-in tournament. And I understand, right, we do want to see LeBron James. We do want to see Anthony Davis. It will be good for the NBA and the fan base. But at the end of the day, guess who's still at home? The New Orleans Pelicans, who is in a great position. They're going to come out and be a better team. Was LeBron James exceptional yesterday? Hell yeah, he was in playoff Bron mode. We saw him doing his best version of Magic Johnson, 13 dimes in the first half. We saw him take over in the second half scoring-wise. Anthony Davis was a monster, but the mission is not complete. And the Pelicans are going to be a far better team tomorrow at home, which is going to be a playoff atmosphere, and they're going to play better.
Right, and that's why this question, Austin, it seems asinine, frankly, to me, that there are folks that are saying the Lakers, they have a better chance if they're eighth and they play OKC. But, I mean, is it a real thing? It's something that people are saying. How do you feel about that?
Well, I would have to agree. They match up better with OKC. When we talk about OKC, they don't really have size, especially down low.
Whoa.
When we're talking in their front court.
You think they
that's
should?
That's where Lakers' strength is.
You think they should? You think
I'm
that
not
they
saying
should
they should
punt?
Lose on purpose. No. I'm not saying you don't ever lose on purpose. You don't ever lose on purpose. I'm just saying it would fall in their benefit if they were to lose tomorrow and then end up playing in that 9-10th game, and then, you know, playing what's that? Who they would play?
They would play.
That would be much better.
Sacramento, if they have the Thunder as their first round, then they'd either play Thunder or the Warriors have to get through that.
And by the way,
yeah.
Yeah, you don't lose on purpose because they don't match up that well with Sacramento anyway. I'm just saying they have no chance versus Denver. They have no chance of winning a series versus Denver. They at least have some type of chance with their experience and with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the size that they have and the team that they have. They could make a run similar to last year if they play a team like OKC. They have a better chance. They got zero versus Denver. But listen, man, you don't lose games on purpose. They got their hands full tomorrow night. And we all know, Perk talks about it, New Orleans is a long, athletic team. They're going to challenge the Lakers. And then, listen, Sacramento, Sabonis, those guys have had the most success versus the Lakers. Sabonis has owned the AD matchup. And De'Aaron Fox, it's his playground every time he plays the Lakers. He's out there doing whatever he wants. So the Lakers got a tough road ahead, for sure.
Austin, you are dressed very well today, but right now you are being too cute, okay? You don't mess with the basketball guys. You don't even think, don't even utter the thought.
Oh, no,
that
I'm
maybe,
saying that.
Don't
I'm,
even
I'm
utter
I'm not saying you lose on purpose.
Because, like, you don't try to lose on purpose.
Oh,
don't
yeah,
even
no,
think
no, no.
It.
I'm just, you gotta, yeah, I hear you.
Well, okay, look, I called Dr. Ham this morning,
right.
Okay? Because I know, listen, I'm driving in on LA Radio,
right.
And that's exactly what everyone in LA is talking about on Sports Talk Radio. Should they throw the game? Should they maybe wink, wink? Or if it happens, it happens. No. You don't mess with the basketball gods. I called Darvin Ham this morning, the Laker coach, and said, hey, this is what everyone's talking. He goes, absolutely not. We are not messing around. There is no chance that we're even talking about that.
Right.
And Anthony Davis is fine. LeBron James is fine. I think the sense that, you know, this game against the Pelicans on Sunday was not a competitive game. Like, they were up by 20 for most of the game. Some of that, you look at that and say, okay, well, they've had their number. They beat him three times this season. They beat him in the play-in tournament. So it's a good matchup for the Lakers and the Pelicans. But the Pelicans just had two great wins in Sacramento and in Golden State. They had some mechanical issues on their plane, from what I hear, and they didn't get into New Orleans until really late. That looked like a team that was absolutely spent in the last couple of games before they got to New Orleans. I'm not saying that's an excuse, but
right,
don't take Sunday as a barometer for what's going to happen in a play-in.
Because the previous three times the Lakers beat them, they haven't won by less than 15 points.
I mean, that is a very good point, Malika.
And I'm not saying that this is a shoe-in for the Los Angeles Lakers, by the way. As you mentioned, Zion Williamson, I fully expect, because when we saw him in the in-season tournament, he didn't have his best game. Last night, the most important game of the regular season, he really struggled. This is a game for him to get back. And whoever loses that game, they will have one more chance to play. So as excited as I am to see the Lakers and the Pelicans game and see how all that unfolds, there's nothing, right, that beats the stakes of a single elimination game that we are going to get between the Warriors and the Kings. So remember, Golden State is heading into tomorrow night's game. They are red hot. They've won 10 of their last 12 games. While the Kings, they're going to be looking for a little revenge after Steph sent them home with a 50-piece in Game 7 in last year's first round. So if their season series is any indication, really expect a close game on Tuesday. The Warriors and Kings, they split their four games against each other, and the last three were decided by one single point each. That is tied for the most consecutive games between teams where each game was decided by one point in NBA history. There's so many questions going into this. Who's going to guard Sabonis? Kevin Looney was the guy to do that last season, but it all comes down to this. Kendrick Perkins, will Steph Curry and the Dubs send the Kings packing for a second straight year?
Hell yeah, they will. Hell yeah, they will. And look, it's no knock to De'Aaron Fox or Sabonis. I think both of those guys have had outstanding years, right, this year when you talk about them playing. But missing Malik Monk and missing Kevin Huerter, that's huge for the Kings on the offensive end because we already know that they're not playing a lick of defense. And the Kings want to outscore you. And the way that the Warriors have been playing, Draymond Green has elevated his game since coming back after the ejection. We know what Steph is capable of doing. Klay Thompson has been balling out of control of late. And then you have Jonathan Kuminga, you know, probably coming in off the bench. Jackson Davis, he's been balling. Chris CP3, he's been coming up in some moments. This Golden State Warriors team, they're playing, and they have a lot of veterans with a lot of experience. And when I look at a depleted Sacramento team, they don't stand a chance in hell.
I mean, to me, this is Game 7 redo. I always think that young team is real interesting to see how the Kings respond after having lost that Game 7 last year. I was sitting up there at the Golden 1 Center for Game 7 when Steph dropped the 50-piece on him.
Yep.
And De'Aaron Fox, if you remember in this game, was right there with him, even though he had, like, a broken finger in this game. He played his butt up. But Malik Monk was great, as Perk mentioned. They're not going to have Malik Monk in this. You're not going to have Kevin Huerter in this. And so I think they are shorthanded. The bench is going to matter. They had a blueprint for how they defend Sabonis in that last series, but Kevon Looney's not starting anymore. So let's see what they do when they get into this game. It's an interesting matchup when there's just one game.
Not to mention, you know, you look at last season and it was Fox and Davion Mitchell who got the primary Steph assignment. You would think it would be Keegan Murray potentially this year. So all of those little tweaks, adjustments, and the Golden State Warriors, they are a better team on the road. They're, 25-16 on the road this season versus last season. But I sat down with Steph and De'Aaron together at the beginning of the year, and I could see De'Aaron was still thinking about that game. He was still talking about that game. They were still having little playful jabs back and forth about the changing of the guard and whether or not that's going to happen. This single game could be that moment where we see that come to blows once again, and I cannot wait. I can't believe we're 10 minutes into our show and we still haven't talked about the number one seed in each conference. Wow. Still to come on NBA Today. Why Austin thinks OKC, Ramona, could be in trouble no matter who comes out of the play-in. Very curious to hear his thoughts. Plus, I mean, with all this playoff talk, we can't forget about how the upset of the weekend went down, Victor Wembanyama's final masterpiece of the season, and what it means for the future in San Antonio. And is there any team that can steal the East from Boston? It's going to be tricky, but Perk, he has one team circled. We'll tell you who that is. All that next on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
No, this is not a look at my heart monitor during the race for the two seed in the East. This is actually concurrently the chances for each respective team between the Knicks, the Cavaliers, and Milwaukee Bucks over the course of the afternoon on Sunday. Here is exactly how this all went down. So all three of these games tipped at the exact same time. So we're going to show you what was happening as Austin Rivers. How was the Magic game?
It was good. It was fun.
Got a front row seat.
Orlando basketball is back.
Orlando basketball is clearly back. Great dunk there by Ben Caro. And then later in the quarter, the Magic up 64-59. Bobby Portis drives. Franz Wagner steals it. The Magic going up big in this one. So while they're up by nine, let's check in on the Hornets and the Cavs, because the Cavs look to have things in control, right? They lead 79-75. Strus finds Jared Allen there. Strus had 14 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, his first career triple-double. The momentum, though, it started to shift away from the Cavaliers. You said it, not me, in the fourth quarter. The Cavs, they make a complete line change, benching their... And I mean, look at who's on the floor. You have four centers and Imani Bates. And respectfully, that's like 10 points a game that's out there. So the Cavaliers would lose this one to the Charlotte Hornets. So let's go back to Orlando then. Early in the fourth quarter, the Magic up 18 by this one. Oh, Cole Anthony. Bunnies. So it all comes down to this. What is happening between the Chicago Bulls, who are cemented in the play-in tournament, and the New York Knicks? Jalen Brunson gets that one to go. Madison Square Garden absolutely erupts. Check that. Dante DiVincenzo. And then a little bit later, Brunson.
With Alex Caruso, all-NBA defensive team player on him doing all this.
Jalen Brunson.
That's good defense.
It's great defense.
I mean.
Couldn't get the shot to go. And so to overtime we go here. 3:15 left in this. Chicago up one. Dante DiVincenzo, hot from three, gets that one to go. And then Jalen Brunson throws it up. DeMar DeRozan, though, really doing everything he could to keep Chicago in this game.
Favorite for clutch player of the year.
1 point game, final seconds. Chicago has a chance to get up in it, and it wouldn't quite go. DeMar knows that's his shot. He got a good look, couldn't quite get it off. So the New York Knicks are your number two seed in the Eastern Conference. As a reward for winning that two seed, the Knicks, they will get either Joel Embiid or a battle-tested Heat in round one. So the three-seeded Milwaukee Bucks, meanwhile, will face the Pacers. The Cavaliers will face the Magic after they clearly wanted it and dropped to four, although I don't know why, because the Magic have been playing great this year. The Celtics, though, they clinched the top spot in the West like 3 weeks ago, so they were chilling in this one. So the playoffs, they go through Boston. But the question has been, because this is the time of the year that it actually really starts for the Celtics, Perk, who do you think is in the best position to challenge the Celtics in the East?
Is that a real question? Is that a real question? Look, I couldn't have my moment yesterday because Stephen A. just took the floor on the countdown, so damn it, I'm going to have it right now. You're looking at them, the number two seed, led by big body Brunson, Jalen Brunson. Look, this team is for real, and I don't know what else they have to do. Okay, when it comes down to the East, we don't really know what we're going to get out of Joel Embiid. I don't believe that he's even close to 100%. Miami Heat, they can't score offensively. But when I look at the New York Knicks and I look at the others, especially OG Anunoby, balling out of control, Isaiah Hartenstein, doing what he does best, an ultimate role player, offensive rebounder, a guy with a high IQ, you know, making the offense work when the ball is not in Jalen Brunson's hands with dribble handoffs and things of that nature. Dante, he's been lighting it up. Culture, Tibbs has established that. So with the East being depleted and being not really good and everybody, you know, being injured, we don't know what you're going to get out of Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm looking at the New York Knicks, and they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh.
I think Perk makes good points. They're definitely the safe pick when you talk about consistency. throughout, especially as of late, the Knicks are definitely that team. But if we're talking about a real threat, a team with star power, it is the Milwaukee Bucks. The problem is we haven't seen this team play well yet, together. But for them to play the Knicks, it would have to be the conference finals. And if they're in the conference finals, Perk, by that time, they got to have it figured out. I mean, you can't get through the first round or second round and get all the way to the conference finals and not have some type of steam. For the Milwaukee Bucks, for me, it's either crash or burn when it comes to this playoffs. They're either going to do something and make a run and meet up with Boston, or they're going to fall apart right here in the first round because we haven't seen, any consistency from this team. We don't know what to expect, but when we terms about the greatest ceiling between them or the Knicks without Julius Randle, I have to go Milwaukee Bucks. They have that man right there, Giannis Antetokounmpo, a two-time MVP and NBA champion, with Bobby Portis, Brooke, and then, yes, the addition of Damian Lillard. So, as of right now, I think the Knicks are definitely the most consistent team to compete with Boston. But if we're talking greatest chance to actually compete, can anybody actually beat Boston? It has to be Milwaukee. This is what we want, right? This was the two seed prior to, obviously, yesterday. And I got to tell you, for someone who just lost and went back to a third seed, they're in pretty damn good spirits. I don't think anybody wants to play Philly with Joel Embiid back. So they're in a decent position. They play Indiana first round. And then we'll see. If they can get it together and get some confidence and something going, Milwaukee's dangerous. We just haven't seen it yet.
Kendrick looks befuddled, but Ramona, I know you have another ingredient to just sort of toss into the pot and close the lid.
Hey, how about the team that they lost to in the Eastern Conference Finals last year that they could see in the first round, the Miami Heat? All right, that 7-8. I mean, Austin, you're right. Nobody wants to play Philly or Miami in the first round. I think Malik read that highlight where the Cavs had a line change at the end of the game because they didn't want to be in that game. I mean, be careful what you ask for because the Heat are now in the 8th spot. They don't care about what spot they're in. They played their way into the finals last year. Jimmy Butler's been getting ready to be playoff Jimmy all season long. I know they haven't been able to score in the regular season, but that's not when they're the Miami Heat. They're the Miami Heat when the playoffs start. And if you're Boston and you look across the aisle and that's your first-round opponent, you won all these games, and just to get back to the team that knocked you out last year, that's a hard one to swallow.
Perk, how you feel about that?
Oh, man. You know what's crazy is this, right? We don't know if Giannis is going to come back. So, obviously, no one is considering the Milwaukee Bucks a threat without Giannis, okay? That's number one. Number two, when it comes down to the Miami Heat, we have to stop, okay? They have shown us time and time again of who they are this season, right? They struggle offensively. And in today's game, when you're talking about competing against the best, you have to be able to score the basketball at a high level. We remember Gabe Vincent was a huge part of this last season for us, the Miami Heat, especially when Tyler Hero went down. When you think about Caleb Martin, he hasn't risen to the occasion like we expect him to be. Is Bam Adebayo going to take that leap? Can Bam be a guy that you could trust in the series that's going to go out there and give you 25-plus a night, more than 10-plus rebounds a night, and anchor the defense? Can he do that? Jimmy looks tired, in my opinion.
Look, cut that clip. You could have said the same thing last year. They looked terrible going into the playoffs last year. Looked terrible in the 9-10. I mean, the 7-8 game. It's the same thing every year.
We've seen playoff Jimmy. We need to see play-in Jimmy once again. Coming up, though, on NBA Today, why Austin thinks the number one seeded Thunder might be done sooner rather than later. Very curious to hear why that would be. And the Spurs season is over, but Victor, he's got one last shot at the reigning champs. We show you what went down. Plus, Caitlin Clark officially enters the W tonight, but she isn't the only franchise that's shifting prospect in tonight's draft. NBA Today, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To NBA Today, presented by American Express.
There's nothing quite like the Wild West. And this season, it's lived up to the name.
The West is absolutely insane.
I'm not ruling out anything.
Edwards getting up, and good night!
The Warriors, the Lakers, the Suns.
This offense is borderline unstoppable.
Jokic for the win!
If we had a show on Saturday, this game would have led, because for the first time ever, three teams in a conference, they were tied for the top spot through 81 games because of this man, Victor Wembanyama. Third quarter, yeah, sure, he pulls up for three there. Spurs still trailing. Victor, once again, he decides to test his range. Okay, he had 17 points in the third quarter in a three-minute span. So going ahead to the fourth tier, under 6 minutes to go in the fourth, the Spurs trail by seven. Not anymore, thanks to Victor.
Look at that extra effort on the putback, on the offensive rebound. He just decided they were going to win this game.
35 seconds to go in the fourth. Devontae Graham makes the layup. The Spurs trail by one. Yeah, and then the next Nuggets possession, Jokic goes for the jumper. Can't quite get it to go.
Bread and butter right there.
Spurs grab the rebound, Austin. The Spurs don't call a timeout. On to the other end of the floor. Devontae Graham makes the floater with 0.9 seconds to go. Spurs, they take a one-point lead. But we've seen the Nuggets make amazing inbound plays before. Looking, but look at the clock. Got to get it in. 5 seconds. Murray looking around for someone, and a five-second violation was called. The Nuggets, they blow a 23-point lead. Wembanyama and the Spurs complete their largest comeback win of the season, and all I'm saying is no rookie has ever made first-team all-defense. I think that that is about to change. But the Nuggets, they are in the postseason. The Spurs are not. So statistically, the Nuggets, they were better this regular season than they even were last year when they were the top seed in the West, and they went on a run through the playoffs. But as you can see, they have a better record, offensive efficiency, and a better net efficiency than a year ago. So Kendrick Perkins, they aren't the top seed in the West, but the Nuggets, I mean, are they the clear-cut favorite to win again?
They are. But it's not, no, I wouldn't say clear-cut, Malik. I'm not going to say that because it's a lot of Western Conference teams that could represent the West in the NBA Finals. I think the winner of the Mavs and the Clippers series is going to be interesting. The Minnesota and Phoenix series is going to be interesting. But they still are the favorites, but it's not a large by a large margin like, you know, everybody is trying to paint it. But I am going to show respect to Jokic. I am going to show respect to Murray. I am going to show respect to that starting five because it is the best starting five in basketball. But at times, what I have seen from the Denver Nuggets is vulnerability on the bench. Losing Jeff Green, losing Bruce Brown. Who's going to step up to the plate? Is Reggie Jackson going to be consistent? Is Tristan Brown going to be consistent? Those are some of the answers that I'm going to be looking for when watching this Denver Nuggets team throughout this postseason run.
So what I'm hearing from you, Kendrick Perkins, right now is, as you would say, yes. Is that what I'm hearing? The whisper.
Yes.
Okay, I'm making sure I'm hearing that right. So the Nuggets, yeah, right, they're looking to become the first champion to repeat since 2018. But you know what's been even longer? Having the same team finish in the top spot in the West, because OKC is the seventh different team to finish in that one seed over the last 7 years. And by the way, the youngest team to do so since seeding began in 1984. But I know, Austin, we don't know who they're going to play quite yet, but do you think that they should be favored to advance no matter what?
No, I do not. And I'll tell you why right here. To the point you just said, they are the youngest team. They don't have that experience. And when we look at what's involved in the play-in, sure, these teams have had struggle in their season when we talk the Warriors, when we talk the Lakers. But these are both teams, even the Pelicans. The only team that I think OKC has a clear-cut victory, you know, burst would be probably Sacramento. But when we talk about the Lakers and their interior size, it's problematic. when we talk about New Orleans' size, problematic. The Pelicans are probably the biggest team out of the three. And then when we talk about the Warriors, what they lack in size, they make up in experience. We're talking about a championship ball club. So listen, I'm a fan of OKC. I love Shea Alexander. He's probably second in the running in MVP. Some people have him as one. I love Jalen Williams. I love the success that they've been able to build in their first year really all together now that we have Chet fully healthy. This is a team for the ages and a team for the next, 5-10 years is probably going to be competing at a high level. We'll start with five. But when we talk about right now, they are very young. They don't have experience. And when we talk about them versus Warriors or Lakers or even Pelicans with their size and their length, it could be trouble. Like, this is not just going to be a unanimous one seed just wins. It just kind of reminds me, I'm not comparing them to Utah, the team, but just an aspect. Do you remember Utah was the number one seed? No one really had this team going the distance. I still think Denver's a clear-cut team to come out the West. In my opinion, I just think they're better than everybody else. And when we talk specifically OKC, I don't think anything's promised with them. They are young. They're talented. It's going to be a good series, but I think they are beatable. I really do.
I mean, look, I out of respect for whoever, whenever they play, when we do our picks, I think they should be the favorite just because they won the toughest conference in basketball that we've seen in the last 5 years. Like, the West this year was a gauntlet. You have teams like the Lakers, the Warriors. Those teams actually won more games this year than they did last year, and they finished lower in the standings because of how tough the West is. And Oklahoma City flat out won the West. Chet Holmgren played 82 games.
Right.
I mean, if you want to know how competitive Chet Holmgren is, go
Sounds
listen to the
good.
Podcast that Adrian Wojnarowski did with him a couple weeks ago. That man, he heard that he was going to be fragile, that he couldn't play every game. He went out and played 82 out of 82, and I love his Twitter feed where he put the sign. He was tracking every single game.
Right.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, death taxes, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander getting 30. That's what he does. He's so consistent. So I know they are young. They're the youngest team to win 55 games since the Oklahoma City Thunder in 2010, 2011. So young, 23 and a half years. Okay?
They have all of the pieces.
But they don't know what they don't know.
Sure. The only thing that is missing is the experience.
And the size.
And Wojnarowski is joining us for this conversation as well because, Woj, they top to bottom have put together a roster that can compete with anyone. Size is the one question. But it's also the coaching that they have been able to put together for this group at the right time. I know you have more on that front.
Yeah, Mark Daigneault, the Thunder's coach, he's been named the National Basketball Coaches Association's Coach of the Year. That's voted on by the other 29 head coaches. You can't vote for yourself. A pretty decisive winner. You know, Daigneault, you've seen a dramatic improvement each year on the job. And, you know, this is a coach in an organization that when you compare them to the rest of the league this year, only one other team was top five in offensive and defensive efficiency. That was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference,
right,
the Boston Celtics. And I think this is a team that, you know, certainly is way ahead of schedule. They only were out of the postseason for 2 years. You think back to the Chris Paul bubble team. And when people talk about that rebuild in Oklahoma City and all the picks they had, and obviously this was jump-started with the trade with the Clippers and getting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to get a future MVP, which he will be at some point, it's not this year, to get him in his early 20s in a trade and then to build around him. But, you know, Mark Daigneault, who's really the third coach that Sam Presti's hired in Oklahoma City, that's been a coach of the year. You go back to Scott Brooks, Billy Donovan, and now Daigneault. This is an Oklahoma City team that may be ahead of schedule, but still they're going to be a very difficult out in the postseason.
Right. Mark Daigneault, the coach's coach of the year, and now they are marching into the postseason as the number one seed with all this momentum behind them. I think it's going to be exciting to see if they can maybe upset one of those more experienced teams. And I realize I'm saying upset about a number one seed. It's time now for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. So while we have to wait, right, to see who the Thunder may play in the first round, we know the Suns and the Wolves series. It's going to kick off Saturday in Minnesota, and everyone here, Ramona, Perk, Austin, all taking the Wolves to win their first playoff series in 20 years. We have all week to find out why. But the question I have right this moment is, who are you picking at home? So download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 in bonus bets once they place their first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet. Still to come, Caitlin Clark set to go number one to the Indiana Fever. Shanae Agumake joins us live from the WNBA draft to tell us why she's ready to live up to all the hype. NBA Today, we'll be right back.
Yeah. Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
Oh man, tonight is the night. We expect to hear Caitlin Clark get her name called as the number one overall pick to the Indiana Fever after one of the most impressive collegiate careers of all time. But her college career, as it was winding down, she was already met, right, with questions, and especially the question of how is her game going to translate to the next level? Well, Clark sat down with our Hall of Famer, Holly Rowe, and told her why she's ready to become the best player in the world.
You know the time is now.
Queen Caitlin, woman king.
You are an apex predator out on the court. I've seen it myself. How do you describe what makes you so unique as a competitor?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about myself is, like, I'm completely different off the court than I am on the court. Like, when I step in between the lines, like, I'm there to kind of kill. Like, that's, like, my mentality is, like, you just want to go out there and be the best. You want to beat whoever's sitting, you know, on the other bench, no matter who it is. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, you look over there and you just want to win so bad, and you're going to do whatever it takes to get there. And I think that's, like, honestly the biggest thing I'm most proud of throughout my career is just, like, my maturity to evolve through, you know, bad games, through bad emotions, and be able to channel that and still find ways to win. I think that's the biggest way I grew my junior and senior year, and I think that allowed us to win a lot more games, for us to have a lot more success, and, like, that's honestly what I'm most proud of.
And Caitlin Clark says goodbye to college basketball.
What is your expectation for yourself in the WNBA?
I mean, I think my expectation is to be one of the best players in the world one day. I think I wouldn't expect anything less than that. That's just kind of, you know, how I go about my business. And I think if I didn't expect that, people around me would be like, you're selling yourself short, because that's how much they believe in me. But also, they know how much work I put in. And I mean, I don't know, I think just enjoy it. Like, this is my job now, but to me, like, this is fun. Like, this is, how lucky am I that I get to play a sport that I've loved since I was 5 years old as my job and do that every single day. And that's really when I'm at my best, is when I'm smiling and having fun and remembering, like, I do this because I love it. It's not who I am, it's just what I do. And I think when I, you know, remember those things, I'm gonna be in good hands.
I have your dream sheet and future goal sheet from when you were in second grade. The number one dream was what?
Go to the WNBA. Yeah.
So what does this feel like, that you are on the precipice?
It's pretty special. And looking back at that sheet, like, obviously I've been able to check off a lot of those goals, and checking off another one is pretty special. And I know it'll be special for myself and my family and friends, and you know, just trying to soak in every single second, because, you know, you only get this one time, and it's going to be really cool.
Really awesome insight there from Clark and Holly Rowe. We're just under 4 hours away to the WNBA draft. And now joining us, our very own Chinne Ogumike, our number one draft pick, live from Brooklyn, the Barclays Center. Chinne, Caitlin is just over 3 hours from hearing her name called in an experience that you had back in 2014. You were the number one pick. How do you think that her game is going to translate, how she is going to assimilate here?
Look, Malika, it's 10 years ago that I was drafted number one, and I'm not going to lie, I blacked out when I heard my name called, Nekka slapped my back, and then I went on stage. But Caitlin will have a very different experience. Caitlin is a certified star, and I know that a lot of people assume it's her shooting ability that will create impact. I honestly think it's her mental fortitude. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk to Caitlin and the entire draft class, and what she told me was that if it came down to one word to describe herself as an athlete, it's passionate. She's not perfect when she plays, but she's passionate. And what has that amounted to? As a guard, what translates? It's shooting and it's basketball IQ. Her passion for the game left her in college as the all-time leading scorer, men's or women's, and also her passion for the game left her leading the nation also in assists. So her passion carries her to new heights. She will not black out. I know she'll be cool, calm, and collected. But I expect big things from Caitlin Clark because she's already a star, yeah. And she just has to continue to be herself.
Yeah, and that's really the most important thing. I got to say, I love seeing that footage of you. 10 years ago yesterday was the anniversary of that draft for our own Miss Chinnea Agumake. We know, though, right, that Caitlin Clark is one of the franchise-altering players that is entering this draft. But she's not the only one. You have Angel Reese, you have Cameron Brink, Camilla Cardoso. Who are you looking at here that could really make an immediate impact on a franchise?
Do not sleep on the number two pick in Cameron Brink. I believe she's the best two-way player in this WNBA draft. She's the National Defensive Player of the Year, and also she's someone whose offense has continued to grow and grow and grow. At first, freshman and sophomore year, she would just really stick around the rim. Then she added the face-up game, and now she knocks down three. So I think the best two-way player is fully Cameron. She's 6'5", gives you 17 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks a game, but then she also has the experience from her family. She comes from an elite basketball pedigree. Her parents both played at a high level, and also it doesn't hurt that her godbrother is by the name of Steph and Seth Curry, so I'm sure that they're motivating her to be happy, to really be excited about this transition. I think she will continue the legacy of Stanford Cardinal great in the WNBA.
Oh, one from one Cardinal to another. Chinnea Agumake, you know you always have a home here. We miss you here. A virtual fist bump
Brooklyn
for you, my friend.
Brooklyn misses you, Malika, in New York.
I miss New York. Crush the draft tonight. Everyone can catch Chinnea at the 28th annual WNBA draft, which is tonight on ESPN and the app. Our coverage begins at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific from Brooklyn. So let's check out today's smart play brought to you by Intuit Credit Karma in the final regular season game at Crypto.com Arena for the Los Angeles Clippers. This is former Clipper Boban Marjanovic, reminded us all why fans loved him so much. I mean, Boban, he realizes fans want him to miss a free throw so they can get some free chicken. You see what he was saying there? He's mouthing, "I got you," while pointing to the crowd. So then he proceeds to miss it on purpose. Once a fan favorite, always a fan favorite, am I right? So speaking of the Clippers, they've played their last regular season game in Crypto Arena, their brand new Intuit Dome. It'll open in August of this year. And you can see the new Intuit Dome and the Clippers. They have a shared goal to support the local communities, including financial education for students and small businesses. And needless to say, Clippers owner Steve Ballmer, he was excited about the grand opening coming later this summer.
We want this to be the penultimate basketball experience on the planet. As good as it gets, the pinnacle, the peak. Now, of course, some year somebody will bypass us, but man, we have put everything into getting ahead of that in this building. I'm really excited for this year's playoffs. Even though they won't be here, I am excited.
Honestly, I should just make that my alarm clock. I am excited.
Oh, I can't wake up like that.
So speaking of those playoffs, the Mavericks are slight favorites to beat the Clippers as a -120 favorite in this series. This is all according to ESPN Bet. It starts on Sunday right here in Los Angeles. Coming up on NBA Today, top dunks, dimes, blocks, buzzer beaters, and a couple of bloopers of the season. Find out what literal top of the top is coming up next.
Dr. James A. Naismith, the inventor of basketball.
One day I had an idea. I called the boys to the gym, divided them up into teams of 9, and gave them an old soccer ball. I showed them 2 peach baskets I'd nailed up at each end of the gym, and I told them the idea was to throw the ball into the opposing team's peach basket. I blew a whistle, and the first game of basketball began.
What a regular season it was. It's time now for Top of the Top, brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. We're going to start off with some top dunks. Malik Monk, man, was he fun to watch this season. I'm bummed we're not going to get to see him in this play-in game coming up here between the Kings and the Golden State Warriors, because Perk, this man, is electric.
Anytime you get a cockback off of 2 legs, it's something serious.
But then Anthony Edwards, asserting himself for Duncan here right there. I mean, oof.
God bless America.
And then, of course, Victor Wembanyama. Which one do you like best, Perk? Which one do you got?
I'm going with Anthony Edwards. That was a violation.
Thank you.
To dislocate your finger in the process. You want to see a dead body?
Oh, my goodness. Well, how about top dimes? DeMar DeRozan, right? The kick out.
Ooh, okay.
Kobe White in the corner. You have to hit that, right, Austin? When your teammate does that, you've got to hit it.
That hurt my back. Watching that.
This one, the side out of bounds, Jokic to the alley-oop. How? Mm. And then,
it's Jokic.
Of course, Luka. You need to have Luka. Behind the back.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
Which one do you like the best, Austin?
That was with his left.
I'm going DeRozan just because I couldn't even dream of attempting doing a reverse 360, throwing it the other way without spraining something in my left or right side.
That's like a chiropractic adjustment just as you do it. All right, we got some top blocks now. Of course, I mean, this one. And remember, though, this one sealed the game, Ramona. So there were stakes for this one.
And he also had missed a couple free throws right before that. He had to get it back.
This one was pretty good from Pascal Siakam, though. He said, get that out of there. We're playing volleyball. And then, of course, once again, Victor Wembanyama on Giannis.
I mean, we have to have
mama.
On Giannis.
Which one?
Ant keeps it in bound. We got to go with Ant. Come on, he hit his head on the rim.
Time
he hurt his head. He had ice pack afterwards.
Also, it sealed the game.
Oh, mommy.
Like, when it seals the game and you're unafraid to get the,
that landing, too, that made me gas every time.
I got another one for you guys. How about best buzzer beaters? Max Strus, right? We got his full court dime here, Austin.
Ooh, yeah, that was a just from too. The distance. My goodness.
But
talk
this
about
Jokic
basketball
one,
gods, Ramona.
I didn't think this was going in.
Oh, that just broke the heart. Think about the standings too. Now that one game. Oh,
I know. And then Kyrie Irving.
That's this is it right here.
That's the one. That's the one. Right.
That's
it's got to be Kyrie.
It's got to be Kyrie.
They're all incredible, but Kyrie, I'd never seen that before. With the left,
he practices that.
With the left.
Yeah, crazy.
All right.
Yeah. I got a soft spot for Jokic. I'm sorry.
When does he ever get that excited?
And I guess the least, we have some bloopers.
Oh, no.
To enjoy. With all my love to Jordan Poole. He contemplated shooting it.
At least he didn't travel.
Yeah. And they scored anyways.
He's going to shoot that.
Then you got the Bulls.
Oh, no. I can't watch this again. I can't see it. Oh.
What would you have done? I mean, I
need the angle. Oh, I need the angle from up top.
Work out. poor Drummond.
And Andre Drummond is one of
veterans, though. That's
I
the
so
bad
enjoy
part.
Being around well, Andre Drummond and covering him. That one just that hurts to watch. They may though have won best blooper, but they will be able to win their home play-in game against the Atlanta Hawks. That's the question. If they can, they will face the loser of the Sixers and Heat game. That's on Wednesday on ESPN. And then the West play-in bracket, full of stars, right? Zion, LeBron, De'Aaron Fox, Steph Curry. They fight for their playoff lives. I cannot wait. We have tomorrow to break all of it down. No games tonight, so enjoy the WNBA draft. We will see you tomorrow. NFL Live.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.